The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
The Google Wallace didn't get herself ejected in the state final, offered some dumb stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't want to say I dreaded showing up to this football game on Friday night, but...
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Mike, if you want to talk, you have to talk into the microphone. There we go. Mic to mic.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, back to Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee. This is Bird's Eye View. Jesse, Mike here on this sunny Thursday morning. Miss Halls was actually in the radio station a little before we got on, so hope they had a nice tour. Mike, you were too late. You missed it.
That's okay.
But glad to see the next generation taking an interest in radio. It is, well, nothing happened yesterday because it rained, and so pretty much everything got canceled. But we had some games this week. One of the things we can also potentially talk about is just the rotten luck Drury baseball has had. Drury has had this year in general, but Drury baseball had some tough luck because... They came into the season with two aces on the mound. It's Carson Rylander, who's a commit to D1 Marist. Connor Hinkle, who's a D2 commit to, is it Franklin Pierce?
I believe so, yes.
So two excellent pitchers, and Connor Hinkle cannot pitch this season, has not pitched this season, and Carson Rylander recently hurt his wrist and is out for the season. So just, you know, coming off a Western Mass Championship and a Final Four appearance, it seems as though this would be the year Drury could potentially win a state championship, and now that's not going to happen. So it's a tough one. Tough injury luck for the Blue Devils, especially for Hinkle and others coming off state championship or state playoff disappointment in the basketball season. You know, all that being said, I think they still have a real shot in Western Mass. If you have, you know, if Brain Durant and Lucas Hamilton play at their best, J.J. Frank Gruber, you know, I think they can certainly beat who they'll face in Western Mass, and then if they face Greenfield in the final, which looks very likely, that's probably a really close game. You need everybody to play your best, but I give them a puncher's chance if the bats do well. But yeah, once you get to the states, then you kind of do need somebody who can throw it a little harder than usual, who, you know, D1, D2 commits, pretty helpful, and without that, I don't expect them to make a serious run.
Well, yeah, when you first told me that, I was like, oh, the window is open for a state title in Sheffield.
Yeah, well, no, I don't think they're winning a state title, but I do think that they have a much better chance of making a run. It should be said that Mount Everett has plummeted in the power rankings.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's too bad.
Yeah. They're like, I mean, I think they're still top 10, but their opponent rating is nowhere near where it needs to be a top four seed. So, I mean, yeah, they are still undefeated. Mount Everett hosts Lennox today. That game is still on, it seems, although I don't know how, because War Memorial Field holds water like a sponge. So, definitely going to be a swamp. But we'll that's see. A big game. I mean, well, it's sort of a big game. It's a league game. Mount Everett won 11-1 the first time around. So it will be interesting to see, yeah, how the Eagles can do. I'd say a big benchmark for them will be the Western Mass playoffs, because they're the 2 seed, pretty locked into there. Hopkins Academy is the 1 seed. And Hopkins is a regular contender for the Class D championship, is a very good baseball program. And so if they beat them, or if they, you know, lose, what, 3-2, and it's a really close game, then you can at least say, hey, all right, Everett is real. You know, they are able to make that leap, because Hopkins is also a top 10 seed in D5. So yeah, I'd say that's kind of my barometer for the Eagles, is how can they do in Class D? Can they win that? And if they do, then I really am looking at them and saying, hey, you could be a Final Four team. But I do think that they're going to have it rougher, just given that they're not a top 4 seed. You know, they'll be on the road in the quarterfinals.
That's true, I suppose.
I mean, yeah, juries, no, they're
would
not.
Would there be a jury?
I don't believe they're 6 or 11. I mean, you have the laptop in front of you. You could look that up a lot.
This is true. I just pulled up Western Mass, though. Now you're asking for the other one.
Well, you said state championship, man. I thought you were. I thought you were guns. You were guns blazing.
Absolutely. This is 2 days ago. Now I said when you first told me this. D5. Jury's 3.
Jury, no, but Mount Everett.
Mount Everett 7.
Okay, so they'd be at the 2 seed.
Plummet is a hard, it's a hard, hard way to put it. Given that
I think they did. I think they did drop down and go back up a little bit. I think on Friday they were like 10. They went from 4 to 10, and now they're back up at 7. But I mean, 4 to 7 is a considerable drop, given that you go from having home field advantage to being at the 2 seed. Who's 10?
Greenfield.
Okay, so. The number 2 team in Class C versus the number 2 team in Class D would be playing for the right to go to who's number 2?
Georgetown.
Georgetown, which is a really, really good program. A
fraction above Drury.
Right. I mean, yeah, if Drury keeps winning, then it doesn't really matter. It will still have a top 3 seed, but it's just about what they can actually do in states. That's the question mark. Yeah, no, I told you when I was at the Wakona Hoosick Valley softball game, which was a great game. Guys, we should also mention congratulations to the 6 Hoosick athletes who signed to play in college, all going D3. Probably the most impressive signing, Noah Rehill, going to Wesleyan, which is a really good NESCAC football program.
Mm-hmm.
And then Logan O'Connell to Springfield College to wrestle, Cam Odvar and Max Griffin going to Manhattanville University to play men's lax, Hannah Lord going to MCLA for softball, and Izzy Tark going to LaSalle for softball.
Sure. Should also mention MCLA softball in the MASCAC quarterfinals today.
Right. Their win was not the quarterfinal?
It was not, apparently. It was a first round, and then there's a double elimination quarterfinal.
Is it double elimination?
If the MCLA website is to be believed.
Well, that's, that's
which, I don't know what their SID situation is up there, but.
Is the rest, is it kind of like a play-in, and then every other round is double elimination?
I believe the top 2 seeds got byes.
Okay.
So that's why they were the 6, they beat the 3. Okay. So now they play the 1.
And it says something that Hannah Gilbert, who's a freshman and was a former standout for Franklin Tech, was the pitcher in their biggest game of the season. So, pretty impressive. And then, yeah, some of the Pittsfield former standouts, Nevaeh Lopez, Pax Neveling, doing well for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did, our guy who was at the signing yesterday, he was looking for like some info, background, and stuff. So I did go through real quick and just do Hannah Lord, Izzy Tart, batting numbers. Hannah Lord is fairly impressive, 20 of 44 with 15 RBIs.
Oh, she's a solid batter.
Izzy Tart is absurd.
Correct. I'm honest. I mean, look, it might be that she just loves the school. She could have gone D2, I think.
So 28 of 38, 8 homers, 28 RBIs in 13 games, I want to say that was.
Yes.
The first 3 I did were 3 of 3, homer, RBI, 3 of 3, 2 RBI, 3 of 4, homer, 1 RBI. Yep. And she has 2 games with 2 home runs this season.
And this is a good time to – so, look, I mean, we recorded our podcast on Tuesday, and I'm like, all right. We should do it Tuesday because, the power rankings are there. We'll have that to discuss, and we'll be in the office, so this all makes sense. And then Tuesday night, I go see Hoosick Wakona, and I was like, why are we not recording tonight? Because I saw something in 5 seasons of covering softball in Berks County I had never seen before. Something that according to, the lore masters at Wakona, has happened once in the history of Wakona softball playing at Pine Grove Park. Right. And I mean, Dustin Belcher has been in the dugout there. He's been the head coach for 18 years. He was an assistant coach for at least 5 or 6 years before that. You have assistants there who their memory stretches back to the 90s, if not before then.
Mm-hmm.
There's one player who was ever hit an out of the park homer at Pine Grove Park, and that was Abby Wells in 2019. And for the uninitiated, the average high school softball field in Berks County is somewhere between 200 and 215 feet. Some of the fields are a little shorter. For example, even if you go to college, like Williams College's outfield is considered small, but it's 200 feet. Mm-hmm. Westfield State is 215. That's relatively standard. Turner's Falls, which, you know, has won all these state championships, they have, their field is 215. Well, Kona Park is 265. If you see it, it just looks cavernous. And I've seen inside the park home runs there. I've seen balls one hop to the fence. I've seen balls get close to hitting the fence, all right?
Yeah.
When I say top of seventh, she hit a nuke. Got all of a pitch. And I didn't even think it went over the fence because I just am programmed to believe that no one's hitting it over the fence.
Hmm.
And it bounced off the fence and dropped. And I see the center fielder rush and then put her hands up. I'm like, what? And then there's a fence behind it because there's a baseball field adjacent to the softball field. And it hit the fence right behind and dropped. I mean, the outfield fence is 8 feet tall. 3 feet over the fence.
That's why
my jaw was in the dirt. On the floor. Because I was literally talking to people before the game about how no one's ever hit it over. Or one person's ever hit it over. And then so the most impressive thing I've ever seen a softball game in Berkshire County, to go yard 265. And yes, the irony, of course, is that they, or perhaps not the irony, the reason they intentionally walked her in the third inning, then just kind of laid apparent for all to see. The first time Wakona and Hoosick played was 15-11. And both offenses were hitting very well, but also both defenses made a lot of mistakes. And each team had one error. Really, really, really good defense. Very composed game for both teams. Hoosick worked its way out of a huge jam in the second. Wakona loaded the bases with one out. RBI walk to tie the game 1-1. And then Hoosick strained at all three. And that was massive.
So, Izzy Tart against Wakona?
Yeah. Hit me.
7 of 7.
Oh, yep. Love it.
I want to say 4 or 5. No, at least 5 runs and 6 RBI. Yeah.
And 2 home runs?
She homer against him the first time.
She did.
3 home runs.
3 home runs. Yeah, she homered twice in the first one. Yep. So, and then, yeah, she did the impossible and home run at Wakona.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, Malia Coffey was also...
I also looked it up. Sortino, UMass's field, which would be among the prestigious of Western Mass. 220 to dead center, it says.
Okay. Yeah, so 220. Yeah, yeah. So, literally, a D1 university, UMass. Sortino is, you know, like New England caliber field. And it's 45 feet shorter than Wakona Park. Or then, not Wakona Park, then Wakona's park. Yeah, just incredible. So anyway, and Izzy Tart was also a huge reason for their defense. Somebody put up a bunt, and I think it was Sydney Payson, and the bunt went 4 inches past home plate, all right? And Izzy Tart caught it. Like, I don't even know how she was even there quick enough from third, but she caught it, 4 and out. She made a play where she snagged the ball on the ground on her knees, made the throw to first in time, had a double play. Yeah, just insane stuff. Oh, thank you, Henry. Well done. He accidentally knocked my sunglasses off the side of the table, said, uh-oh, and then put them back up.
Excellent.
Look at you. Look at you. Your dad's raising you right. You know that?
Try.
I like the rainbow pants. Very colorful. Clearly your dad's fashion taste. In any case.
Hoosick, the number 3 in D5.
Yep, number 1 in Class D.
I'd say a good chance to move up slightly. They're a fraction off of number 2, Hopedale.
Yeah, I think they absolutely can.
Like they've been shuffling there.
Yeah, do some shuffling with Hopedale. I mean, 2 versus 3 isn't a huge... It's more just like, do you want to face the 6 seed or the 7 seed more?
But 6 is West Boylston, so Berkshire County doesn't have great history with them.
No, that's true. That's true. Just a very good game. Wakona could not get the hits it needed. That's what Dustin Belcher said after the game. You know, that you load the bases and you only get 1 run. That's a huge blow. Hoosick's offense had a run to go up 4-1, and then they kind of just tacked on runs here and there. They intentionally walked Izzy Tart to load the bases with 1 out, and Rachel Lenook came up and blasted a ball that scored 1, and then another came in on a throw on an error. So one RBI, but then a second one scored on it. And she said no. I asked her, you know, she was like insulted, you know, that people intentionally walk. And because I've said this before, you know,
I didn't.
You got Legesse, Tart, Winook. It's like, who are you going to walk, man?
Mm-hmm. I should have probably gone through and done the walks as well.
Intentionally walked.
I don't know if they mark it in Game Changer. But,
oh, they do.
But she certainly gets walked an awful lot.
Yes.
Because you'll see a lot of 3-for-3, 3-for-4s, and you'll get like a 2-for-2, 0-for-2, 0-for-1 type deals where clearly she was walked three times in this game. Wakona is in the battle for between 8 and 9. They're 9 now. So that's a kind of an important spot to be if you want to get up to 8, which would eight is West Bridgewater. Again, fairly familiar in this state tournament era that we're in. But yeah, that would it would behoove them certainly to beat Lennox. They have Lennox twice still.
Yep. And
beat
Long Meadow, Lennox which fairly. Long Meadow is a good team.
And
D2. Yeah, no, beating Long Meadow, beating Lennox, that would be a huge
win. +5 would be ideal.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and also, I mean, Lennox is.
Lennox like isn't going to hurt your power rating.
No. But I mean, Lennox is in the same boat where they're trying to raise their. I think they're 8 in D5. So they're trying to raise it last second.
9. They're so they are also, 9. A little more than a fraction behind Turner's, which, again, wouldn't be a bad trip. So
no, but that would also just be a really tough game.
Yes, yeah.
You know, I mean, Turner's does not have the ace pitcher who's going to kill you this year, but they have they clearly can hit the ball well, and they have the best coach in the state. So that'd be a tough place to have to go in the second round. Wakona, a very important end of the season for them with Lennox twice.
Yeah, wow. Long we Meadow, still get Wakona, then, Lennox twice. Thanks, Rain.
Yeah, Rain.
Wakona, Lennox twice in the last week of the season.
In the Class B tournament, I believe Wakona is the 3 seed. So,
yes.
Who's 6?
6 is Chicopee.
So, I mean, yeah, Chicopee, they're not in a good league. I would expect Wakona to
would
beat them.
They would be at Frontier in the
and
semi.
Then, yeah, Frontier's really good. Mm-hmm. So that 16, would be a
16-0 Frontier.
Yeah, that'd be a very tough game. We're going to take a little break, and then we'll come back, talk a little more baseball, softball. Had some lacrosse news, but take a little break, and we will be back shortly.
PCTV Select is a great way to watch local content without having a cable subscription. You can keep up with the latest of what's going on in your community from anywhere in the world. And it's available for free right now. Watch live events in full HD on your TV, on your computer, or on the go with your mobile device. Or watch our large library of on-demand video programs anytime that's convenient for you. No more waiting until it's on TV. Did we mention it's free? PCTV Select is everywhere you need to be.
Underwriters are so important for keeping this station alive. Hi, this is Sean Sayre, Executive Director of PCTV. I'd like to thank our local businesses for supporting Pittsfield Community Radio and for believing in the mission of the station. When you hear underwriting messages on the air, you know those companies support WTBR-FM. If you're listening now and your business would like to join in and support us, call me today at 445-4234 and get involved, or visit us at WTBRFM.com. It will make all the difference.
Welcome back, folks. WTBR, WSBR, Bird's Eye View here. Talking some softball, talking some baseball. Should mention that Pittsfield swept the season series over Taconic.
Got a big game today over at Clapp Park.
Huge game today over at Clapp Park. The Generals will face Central, which, like, you can check, they had been like number 5 in Division 1. Central had been, so that's a huge game. And Pittsfield lost to Central. Springfield, number 8. So there you go. So still top 8 seed, top 10 seed. They lost to Central in Springfield in the first game. And that's actually a team that Taconic beat. So, very impressive win for Taconic, although they then lost to Pittsfield. But for Pittsfield to win, I believe, would give them the league title, or at least a share of it.
Central would have 2 losses. Pittsfield would still just have 1.
Right.
They might have a league game left, but I believe those are really and they've already beaten Taconic, who's the other team that beat Central. So, I don't know that anyone else in their league is that much of a threat. Central is the 1 seed in Class A.
Yeah.
probably goes without saying, but just to put it out there, their power rating 4.8. Pittsfield's is actually 5.3. I believe Pittsfield is the number one in Western Mass at large.
Yeah, no, they got the best rating in Western Mass. So yeah, it's just beating Pitt Central. Not only you beat a D1 team, you beat the number one team in Class A. You get some revenge. You get a league title. Mm-hmm. A lot on the line. Very big game. Excited to see what the Generals can do. Yeah, especially because they've been hot. They're coming off the big win over Taconic. Or is there going to be an emotional letdown after your sweep? We don't know.
Should be Jay Cody. He pitched last Friday, complete game to beat Pope Francis. So that's a full 6 days. Since then, Simon Melly pitched the Taconic game. Maury Fried homered. He had been scuffling a little bit. So obviously a scary presence for the rest of Class B, for the rest of Western Mass and D3 now.
Yep. Back in D3.
Yeah, going forward. I'm curious to see that one. Like you said, the game you're at, just to see if Mount Everett, if Lennox can. Oh. Henry, stop touching that. The staff is asking you to stop touching. Lennox is a little hot as well. I think they've won three straight, and two of which were tight, kind of emotional charged wins. One was a walk-off, one was a 1-0 win. So see if they're capable of more than they've shown the first half of the season.
Yeah, also interesting, Wakona's James Rabuse is working his way back to pitching. He's pitched about four innings so far, and he's done well, but he's just dealing with some back soreness. And so it's just more about feeling healthy. I mean, you know, he's been able to hit. He's been in right field. He's
been able to hit very well.
Yeah, I mean, he's got probably 3 or 4 home runs this year. He's at 97 hits for his career. So he's getting pretty close to the big 100. He will be at Northeastern to play baseball next season. But, yeah, if they get him back healthy, that would be huge, because then you're looking at Wakona Taconic in the Class B semifinals, and that'd be a fantastic game, which the winner would assume would play Pittsfield.
Yeah, Wakona's down at Monument today. Then they have the big game against Ware on Friday, which a win should secure or wrap up a share of their league title. And that Taconic game, I believe, is another one that's just been delayed, and that's now Wednesday the 13th.
Okay, yeah, so I mean, that would just be a Western Mass preview, a rivalry game. Should mention that I think 2 years ago it was that Wakona upset Taconic to reach the Western Mass final. So that, or Taconic was upset in the quarters. I'm not sure. One or the other. What's up, Henrico? Anyway, so some big games on that side approaching. On Friday, I saw Greylock Lacrosse, boys lacrosse, and that looks like a potential Western Mass championship team. I mean, their only team that they've lost to is Lennox, who is the 2 seed, but they just have a lot of scores. Braden Villeneuve just kind of generates offense. He either scores the ball or he assists other people. You have Brady Auger, you got Dow Young, you have Henry Easton, who are all snipers. And then Finn Noyes just is good for at least 4 or 5 turnovers a game. As in, he causes turnovers from the other team. And that just, you know, gives what can be a very good offense even more chances. Just Greylock has a lot of options, and I like their odds. I think that, you know, everyone in Berkshire County, which are, you know, the top 3 seeds are Greylock, Lennox, Hoosick, they can beat all 3 of those teams. They certainly look like somebody to take pretty seriously come tournament time.
It's certainly validation for bringing the program back at the last. So now we're up, you know, a year and a half ago. But last year, bringing the program back as a, hey, we have 12 seniors, 15 seniors, sophomores, sorry, that want to play lacrosse. Might as well try to start this back up. And then a couple of those, got a couple transfers back in. You call them transfers. I believe they were still Greylock students last year, but we're playing for grandfathered into other programs. But it's a return to form, I guess.
Greylock is back.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, for Wilcona, they're pretty much locked into the four seed in Class B.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely have some options. They just... some of the details get lost, I think, with them. On defense, on ground balls. You know, their offense does a really good job of chewing clock and just being patient and finding ways to score. They got a lot of really good facilitators in Gio Venable, Travion Hawkins. Kessler Nello is kind of the go-to sniper. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, you know, they're a solid team. And so, you know, they'll play the one seed in Class B, but I would expect that they can at least make them work for it. And given that they missed everything last year, kind of getting back to this is a good step in the right direction for the program. Got a few minutes left, so track meet coming up, end of the season coming. So what's the news there, Mike? Who's picking up steam?
Picking up
speed, I should say, you know? Who's hitting the rubber?
We have three county meets left. One today, Pittsville-Taconic will be over at the new facility at 4 o'clock. And then tomorrow, a couple tri meets, I believe, down at Monument and at Wakona. Not really. I don't think there's any major intrigue from those. I believe Greylock has kind of... once the Greylock boys beat Pittsfield, it was a wrap on the county titles. Both Greylock girls and boys are going to be undefeated heading into Western Mass. We'll do Berkshire individuals first next Saturday at Greylock, and then we'll have Western Mass. Got the schedule for that. It's Friday of Memorial Day weekend, and it will be at Hampshire Regional, which I don't know that I've ever actually been to. Because when I got that, I was like, where is Hampshire Regional again? But last year it was at Mount Greylock, was pushed to Saturday, I believe, because of rain. So that's that schedule. Then we'll get into states. Most of the county will be at Westfield State for the D6 championships. D5, Pittsfield and Taconic will have to go out to, I think, Bridgewater for that one. But Coralie-St. John is looking like maybe Greylock has kind of another star in the making. They've matriculated out Maggie Nichols and Catherine Goss and Chase Hoey over the past couple of years. But if they're looking to three-peat, which would be the three Division VI state championships in a row, she is now the county leader in the 400 flat, the 400 hurdles, and the 100 hurdles. And they also have Rowan Apatsos, who is number one in the, I want to say, 200 long jump, triple jump. And they're also just, they own all three relays in the county. They're kind of just dominant in the county. So it'll be interesting to see if they're able to put it together again. Western Mass for them, I want to say, is like three or four straight. The boys actually are going for, I think, eight straight this year. That's the one I have a question on. I don't know. I wouldn't put a...
I mean, Pittsfield gave them like a complete battle, right?
A battle and a duel.
Is at least going to be there.
Yep.
Is anyone else, do you think? I mean, obviously, we don't know what's in the valley, but do we
know?
Yeah,
in the county, it's Monument and Wakona, and the question is, will those boys actually compete, and in what events? We haven't seen Lorenzo Lewis run yet, I don't believe, this season, but he is... You know, you would imagine he was last year the top 400 runner,
sorry,
top 200 runner.
Not with them for Western Mass.
Nope, they're all together for Western Mass. Yep, well, everyone's together for Western Mass.
You said Wakona Monument, so that's why I was just, I didn't know.
Yes, I was saying in addition to Pittsfield.
In addition, okay.
And Monument, Everett Pacheco has been dealing with some stuff as well. But if he runs, he can easily win two events, three events, if he really sets his mind and body to it. So it depends where these kids are deployed and if they're healthy enough. Cooper Calvert can win two to three events. Monument has City Culbreth, who set two county records this year. They've got a really good 4x1 team. Oliver Curtis is really good in the sprints. They've got a javelin thrower who can rival Ward Bianchi. So there's some points that Greylock's not going to get this year, and whether that evens them out or evens out the field enough for a Pittsfield to jump on, I don't know that Monument will kind of have the overall depth, but they're going to pilfer points from Greylock, I think.
Off topic, but after you shave your neck, I'm rubbing my neck all the time every day after I shave because it's so smooth. Do you do this? Is this just a me thing? I've done this forever.
I shaved clean for the first time in like 3 weeks earlier this week. But
you're not just like rubbing your face or your neck because it's all smooth?
Not so much. I do that more when it's like after a week. I get the shadow going, and
no.
I like to attack Henry with the scratchy face. But
no, because now it's like all soft and smooth, and it's funny. To
well, you have the counter, yeah. You still have the beard, but
yeah,
you shave
I still
the
have
neck.
The beard. All right, folks. Hopefully, you have a smooth Corinthian leather face after shaving. Have a good rest of your day, your week. Take it easy. Thank you for listening, and enjoy the song.